Good morning, millennials.
Oh my God, I've always wanted to do that. I didn't get to do that last time. Warn you that I was going to do it.
I didn't know you were going to do it because usually on a guest co-host remote setup, I'll go it on my own. But why didn't you get to do it when you posted with Claudia?
I don't know. I don't think I was invited to do it. Did she do it? Did you guys just like, don't you just edit that in sometimes?
Yes, when we are remote, because it's hard to sync it up at the exact same time. But you were in New York when you came on the toast.
I don't think she did it.
You were robbed.
I don't think she did it. I was fully robbed. But I wish I actually would have prepared a little bit more. The moment just came so quickly just now.
Well, that's because I sprung it on you because I didn't know you were going to join me. I think you should get your own.
Oh, okay. Good morning, millennials.
That's
welcome
nice.
Welcome to the... Well, now it's the toast. It was the morning toast. But... I'm here. I'm so happy to be here. I'm the biggest fan.
Oh, I'm so happy that you are here. Ending off guest co-host weeks, Jackson Stass back again. We've podcasted together.
Weird. Not going to lie.
Jackson Stass. Oh, my God. It does. Oh, my God. Sorry. Sore subject.
Triggered.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my God. I need to mind myself and like really feel, like think before I speak. But we are here together podcasting. We've never done the toast together, but I've done your show and
twice.
Yeah. So now the roles have reversed and I get to ask you all the questions that I want to ask you. And I've done something so crazy that I've been dying to do all week. And that is I've canceled the Fast Five and I'm just thrilled to bits because not only do I want to talk to Stassi for an hour and a half just about like Jackson Stass tings. And we have so many tings in common.
Wait, do you know how much I wanted? I almost used the word tings in real life. And I'm like, I need to not. I sound like a carbon copy of you guys. And it's like, it's creepy. Like, it's creepy. But I want to use tings all the time. It's your language, the words that you guys use. It's in my soul now.
Well, that's part of the fun. And people don't like how much I use the word tings.
I love it.
The problem is I don't like the word thing. Like it's such a throwaway word. And it's like, if I'm using the word thing, I should be coming up with a better word, but I'm lazy. So it's ting.
No, ting. There's a flair to it. There's like a celebratory vibe to it.
Yeah, it makes tings fun.
Yeah, it does.
But I know people are kind of sick of it. I want to say, you know, like everything else, I will cycle through it, but I understand that it's taking a long time. I need a better synonym for thing, object. Okay. Well, it's different every time.
I think it just has to be, it'll come organically to you.
Yeah, it always does.
It always does with you guys. Like, you know, you just got to let it evolve on its own. You can't force anything.
Yes.
The toast.
Okay? It's so true, which is why I'm not forcing the Fast Five today, okay? Like, the stories all week have been take them or leave them. It's Friday, and by the time this episode comes out, the only thing people will be talking about is Taylor Swift's new album.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. The way that I've felt like this over the last month, I don't know how you guys have been able to do your show every day. Every time I go online, check the things, the pop culture things, there is quite literally... nothing I'm interested in. Like, nothing. The celebs out there, boring. They're not getting into anything. What's going on?
I know. You know who's really holding it? You know who's holding it down?
I'm trying to think of who could be.
Not a person, a category of celebrities.
No.
Reality stars.
Like who?
Love is Blind held it down for a while.
Okay. That was like a month ago.
Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Lala and her belly going around town is doing it for me.
For sure.
Coupled with watching the season, it's giving me something.
For sure. I guess it just that doesn't count for me since
you're too close to
my friend. So I can't indulge in that part of it. It just I wish. I can't.
Yeah, you're missing out. It's fun over here. But other things, no, I definitely feel like there's been a lull in just like content and I don't know, maybe people are resting up for a big summer splash.
I truly was like, is it the eclipse? Is it Mercury in retrograde? I think that shit's over like April 25th or something like that. Then we can just like, we could come out of our caves all of us Kardashians. I'm going to need you to rise up. I need something from you. Kylie, like, I'd really like to see some looks. Can you go to a fashion week? Can you do, I want to see some clothes, you know?
It's so true. I hadn't noticed it. Now I'm realizing it's not me.
No, it's them.
And you know what? And I feel like today, I feel like being the type of person who blames things on Mercury in retrograde. Maybe that Mercury's just been in retrograde.
It has. Right? It has, though. Like, for real. I mean, even though it's in retrograde, quite literally all the time. Like, I feel like it's 17 times a year.
Mercury, yeah,
in retrograde. It just makes me feel better to blame it on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when you think about it, the way that the planets and then, you know, the tide and all that stuff, the way it works. I mean, right?
Right. It's got to mean something.
It has to mean something. It gives me something to believe in. I just love, I need something to blame.
Okay? How much stock do you put into things like Mercury in retrograde or horoscopes? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like James Kennedy's girlfriend, where are you at? Do you even watch Vanderpump Rules? Do you even, like, am I making references to someone who is like, no idea what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who she is. And she, obviously,
she's like an astronomer, astrologer.
No, people keep tagging me in TikToks about that because I'm, okay. I'm, you know, I like things like that.
Right.
I don't watch it, so I don't know how into it. That's her career. That's what she does.
Yeah, she does like birth charts for people, like reading them.
I
mean,
I love that. I'm like, I'm really into birth charts. I'm not into horoscopes. I'm okay. into birth charts. Like, there's a difference. Like, horoscope is almost like telling your future, you know, this is going to happen to you soon. But your birth chart is it just when you were born, all of the way that everything was aligned, how that influences your personality. I like to believe in that. I don't know if I fully believe in it. I just enjoy dipping into it.
You know? I feel that, taking it with a grain of salt. And I do agree that it's definitely more enticing. I even said to Claudia, like, I kind of want Allie to give me my birth chart. Because my issue with horoscopes is the idea that everyone born in the same month has the same personality. I know then there's, like, your moon and sun rising. But generally speaking, like, all Cancers are this, all Scorpios are that. And it's like, so we were all, like, on the hospital room floor with correct. The same personality?
Correct. I'm not buying it. I completely agree with you. And that's why I think a birth chart is just so much more interesting. What my question is, who decided? Who decided that when, you know, your moon was in Scorpio, that meant that this was going to affect how you deal with things emotionally? Who decided that?
No, it's such a good call. It's one of the greater grifts of all time.
Grifts.
It's a great grift.
Grift? I don't even know what that means, Jackie.
Like a scheme.
Okay.
A hustle, like a fraudulent scheme.
You're always teaching me new words to add to my vocabulary.
We aim to teach here.
And I just learned grift. Is that where grifter comes from?
Yeah. And it's such a great word.
I didn't put that together.
Recently, Ben Soffer accused me of using the word too much because I was describing everyone and everything as a grifter and a grift. But I'm sorry. Like, there's a lot of grifters around who are performing grifts. That's why is that my fault?
I just like performing grifts.
Right.
Grifts.
Yeah, and you live in LA, so you must see a lot of grifting.
Lots of them.
Well, I'm so excited that you're here today because one person who is not a grifter is Stassi Schroeder.
Oh my God. Hey. Wow. Actually, though, the intro of my dreams, the one person who is not a grifter.
And that's why they pay me the big bucks. Big podcast segwayer over here. She does not grift. In fact, she's a lovely, lovely person and podcaster and friend and author and star and influencer and mama. And we're going to talk about literally every single thing that I just mentioned. But first and foremost, I want to talk about your new book because it's the name on everybody's lips. You announced yesterday your third book and us Stassi fans are so excited.
Wait, thank you. Wait, I have it here. It's a dummy copy. So it's not actually my book in it.
Trade secrets.
You know, it's just so annoying because, like, I want to be so excited about this, but when I open it, it's not mine, and so it's kind of sad. But
so you can't read us an excerpt?
No, you know what? I was told that I should, and I'm like, that's just not my vibe.
Oh my God, a reading?
No, I'm not joking, Jackie. Like, I'm not joking. Like, team was like, you should read an excerpt. And I'm like, no. Quite
so
no.
So Carrie Bradshaw.
I can't. Like, I would turn to stone.
Is it that you can't do it like here one-on-one with
here,
me?
Here one-on-one like, with you. Like, okay. I do my audiobooks. Like, so like, I'll do the audiobook.
True.
I just can't with you right now. Just
no way.
Take it seriously and not giggle. Like, it's
that's so fair. But like, when you do your like book tour, you'll do readings or still no?
No. No one's actually ever even asked me to. Like, it's more meet and greets, or like I'll do a Q&A and I'll talk about the book, but an excerpt, like, who actually even wants to hear that?
No, like now no one. Really want to hear it. No. Now I'm dying to know.
No.
Okay, well, your new book is called You Can't Have It All, and it is your third book. Can you tell us about the book? What's in it? I'm obsessed with the concept of it and like your general thesis.
Okay, I really appreciate that, because this was the most challenging one to write, which I don't think people would expect, because I've been through more challenging times before in my life. But this, I don't want to say it's the anti-girl boss book, because I'm still ambitious. I still have dreams. I still have things I want to accomplish. I'm not saying, you know, let's just put all of that, throw that in the trash. Just whatever. Fuck it. I'm not saying that. But there is an element of anti-girl boss to it, because I realized, I was like, after having kids especially, I'm like, I've tied my whole self-worth up in like how much I accomplish, how much I'm excelling in every category of my life. And it got to a point where I realized, oh my God, like when you have kids, that is actually impossible. And then you're just left feeling like shit about yourself on the reg over and over. And so I wrote about this, a chapter about not having it all, like us women not being able to have it all, in my last book. And it stuck with me. It sat with me. And the more I lived life over the last few years, I'm like, this is it. This is the theme of my life right now. Learning to just find joy in what I have, like the things that I've already been given, the things that I've already achieved. Like sometimes being in the middle is the sweet spot. Like, you don't always have to be number one. You don't always have to be the best. Sometimes you're the happiest when you're mid.
Right. Also, the people who are, like, the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most famous, like, those aren't the happiest people. Like, having a little bit of everything, I think, is a better recipe for happiness. And I agree with your thesis, because it's like, as modern women, we can do whatever right now, and we can work, and we can raise children, whatever you choose to do. But it's like, you still have only so many hours in the day.
Yes.
There still are not more than 24 hours. So I think like it's like double the amount of work if you do like the traditional things that we still want to do. We still want to raise children and be moms and wives. But like, we're also running our own businesses. So it's like finding a way to have all of that, but not say, not having 100% of each of it.
Yeah.
Except, 100. Yeah.
Yes, because you can't possibly like work at 100% in each category of your life at the same time. You can have it all, just like not at the same time. But I do want to be very clear that this isn't like a self-help book. This isn't me just, I'm not some self-help guru. Like this is the only way I've known how to write or share a message is to just tell my stories. And I've noticed throughout my life, like my stories have like a theme, and I write about everything that's been going on over the last couple of years, and I go back to parts of my life over the last 10 or 15 years. But the theme of all of those stories is that you can't have it all. Like, that's what it is. So I just don't want anyone to think that they're picking up the book in the self-help section. That's not it. It's deeply personal, and it's really hard to write.
One woman's experience.
Yes, it's my experience. But again, and I also think the very act of writing a book is like kind of girl bossy. So it was a mind fuck.
Of course,
at the same
we're
time.
Sitting here on a woman-owned business speaking to like a female entrepreneur being like, ugh, girl bosses. Like, look in the mirror.
No, I know. So like, I struggled with this so much. There were so many times that I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? I was about to give birth, and then I like picked it up again right after I gave birth. I'm like, this is the most girl bossy fucking shit ever. What I'm writing is contradicting the very thing that I'm doing right now. I think that's what made it so hard. I feel like I wrote this book for me, because I'm trying to teach myself this.
Yeah, how to like sort out your feelings on this. And I feel the exact same way as you, like as a mom, as a business owner, like someone who's very hardworking, but also like being a mom is the most important thing in my life. I say no to a lot of things. I'm probably like, you know, missing out on a lot. And yeah. I feel like sometimes I feel like I am, you know, I'm not the most social, relevant all or the like, time. Or
yes, same.
Yeah. And that's but, not having it all. And that's, but that works for me. And that's how I want it.
But life also comes in waves, and there are different seasons for things. Mm-hmm. And you kind of just like have to remind yourself that everything is temporary all the time. So like, you're never, even the people who seem like they have it all, something in their life is suffering a little bit.
Yeah.
At the cost of that.
Yeah. So very true. Well, I am so excited to read this book in particular, but all of your books are jolly good fun.
Thanks.
Just speak to universal themes. So you said that this one was the hardest for you
by far
to write.
Because of what I said specifically, that it was like a contradiction.
Yeah. But like you're getting to the root of it.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate you going to clear that up for all of us. And I was actually podcasting with Lauren Elizabeth for yesterday's episode, and so many of our conversations were the same, where it's like, we call ourselves like homesteading trad wives, but we're not trad wives because we're working.
You're working. No, you're doing the most. We're
stay at home working moms.
Yes. You were, which is very hard because yeah. I always say that stay at home moms, like they have the hardest job,
yep,
career and life out of anyone, any day of work I have ever had. There is nothing harder than just a day that I have been at home alone with my two children all day long. That's the hardest day. Yeah. So then at least like stay-at-home moms that also work from home, we get a half breaksies, but not, because your brain is still thinking about it. You can still hear them. You can still, yeah, hear something.
Yeah.
But you're a little dialed out.
And you have your thing going and you're having adult conversations and you're, yep, feeling like your own person.
Correct. Yes. Like right now, this is a treat right now. Like I'm enjoying this. Like Beau is with Messer. And so this is a treat. Like it's like we're at happy hour or something.
No, I always say that. I say like weirdly recording the toast is the calmest hour of my day.
Yeah.
And I get to have adult conversations. I get to laugh. I get to like flex my humor, my funny bone. And now doing guest co-hosts, I finally get to catch up with my friends.
Yes.
Like,
see? So it is happy hour.
It is happy hour. I have a soda except today.
I have a water, you know, whatever.
Oh, you're a real mama with your thermos.
Simple, modern. You know, everyone with that other one. I don't understand.
I have both.
Stanley Cup. No, it's the Stanley Cup is fugly, and when it like falls over, water leaks out. Nothing ever leaks out of this.
That's a good point. Are your kids obsessed with your cup?
No, actually.
Oh, whenever I used to have mine around, like Harry always got into it because it's like a big cup with a straw. It looks like something for him, honestly.
I guess you're right, but no. But Hartford always has her water. Wait, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Don't you notice that every kid like, they have to have their thermos water with them at all times. Like whenever we go anywhere, it's like, does Hartford have our water?
Athletes.
Yes. That wasn't the case when we were growing up. I don't ever remember carrying a water with me or my parents carrying a water with me. Like, when did this happen?
I don't know. And I had to learn it sort of the hard way. I didn't know that all kids were doing that. And I feel like for so long, I would send Harry like with his bottle, like his Dr. Brown's bottle, and I'd put like water in it or like juice or something. And I would, or sometimes they have like the silicone handle that you can slide up. But he was like, yeah. And he really slowly graduated from like, first it was his Dr. Brown's like milk bottle, mm-hmm, carrying water. And then I switched the cap to be more of like a sports cap, but still like the boy's walking around with a bottle.
Yeah.
And then I saw some of his friends have like these thermoses.
Yeah.
These insulated thermoses, mm-hmm, that are bespoke. They've got their names on them. Like, yep, Harry knows which water bottle belongs, yes, to who. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I absolutely have to step my game up. And I went on a fact, like I ordered a bunch of different water bottles and I found some of them are better than others. I don't like those like thermos ones. A lot of them leak. The ones I got most recently that I'm loving are the Bentgo water bottles.
I don't think I've heard of those.
You know the Bento lunch boxes? It's like Bento boxes.
But can they be, are they decorated?
Yes, if it's, some.
Okay, because like if it's not decorated with the princesses or the Elsa or something.
I don't know if it has a Disney collab. We're kind of just like, we go for the blue one and like rocket chips.
No, yeah, it wouldn't work.
Damn, they didn't get the Disney collab. I'm so sorry.
But like, I think about this often. It's like Hartford goes to school with their thermos and every kid has their thermos. And like, that was not the case. We just were parched as kids.
Yeah. No,
you went to a water fountain.
It's so true. And it's so crazy to think about. And I'm glad to know that I wasn't the only one to like slowly come to that conclusion. But it's like, your kids better be strapped, like with their camel pack. When we go somewhere, like, I don't bring a water for me. Like, it's just for him. If I'm thirsty, like, I'll have to ask him for a sip.
No, for sure. There's so many things that I've learned that I'm like, when did all of the parents my age collectively get together and learn this information? Like, for Valentine's Day this past year, you know, I sent her to school. I went on Amazon and bought, you know, like Princess Valentine's, and we did like stamps together, like, and signed her name. Mm-hmm. She got back from school, every single Valentine was homemade. I'm like, who got together? How do all the parents know to do this? How did I didn't know that we make homemade Valentines now. What's wrong with Amazoning some princess ones? I felt like the shittiest mom ever.
It's what the does same a thing, homemade like, not, Valentine entail? Like, what's the difference between, what are we making?
Okay, well, you get construction paper, maybe like glitter, markers, like thing, glue, whatever. Like, it's homemade as if the kid's 8 years old. Like, they were homemade. Like, they did crafts at home.
But like, okay, maybe I'm just like being dumb. Like, maybe we didn't do Valentines at my school. Like, what is a Valentine?
Are you now that? Are you joking?
No. Like, I don't know if I know this deep down somewhere, but is it just like a craft?
Well, no. Well, back in the day when we were in school, they were like, are you for real right now? You could get like, them at CVS, Rite Aid, you know, Duane Reade.
And like a box of chocolates?
But it's not chocolates. Like, they're little cards, and you say to so-and-so from so-and-so. And they had like a theme to them, whatever kind of cards you brought, and then you brought them to school and you handed them out to your class. Like, you didn't just pick one person. Like, it was like you bring them for the class.
Oh, that's so sweet. I don't think we did that.
For real?
Yeah, maybe because I went to Jewish school and like Saint Valentine is technically not
okay
a holiday that we would celebrate, so I've missed out on this.
Well, you're FOMO. In for a real treat.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, very homemade exciting them. So make you got them. Yours on Amazon, but everybody homemade them.
Everyone. And I was like, who? Even my sister-in-law mailed me one that she had made. Her daughter's a year younger. I'm like, who taught you this? How'd you know? And like,
where did the time come from?
Where did the time? Yes, I know.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
There's so many things like that.
Yes, there are. That's what I mean. But that also goes along with my book, because I have chapters about this where I'm just like, holy shit, I'm failing as a mom. I thought I was doing well. And there are all these things that I don't know.
And what's so funny is you're actually so crafty. I feel like you're always doing crafts.
I do love a craft. I do. For myself, go, I guess. Like,
no, I feel like I've seen, like from what I've seen, like you go above and beyond. You're always doing like fun, like holiday stuff.
Yeah, but that's like for Halloween. For me, there's a difference between like then doing for a the craft children. With a toddler, you know, when like Hartford really doesn't care. She's only three. She doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know, about like gluing some glitter on something right now. Like, she kind of doesn't understand. She'll be excited to do it one time. And then I end up having to do the remaining 10. So like, I guess crafts just aren't fun with my kids yet. Crafts are fun for me.
Okay, but it's waiting for you then. At it least is. You're a mama who crafts. You probably have a hot glue gun.
That I yes, I do, actually. Yes.
You're halfway there.
I have two.
One for you, one for Hartford.
Different sizes.
Well, not to only talk about Hartford, but I do kind of want to talk about the name on everybody's lips, and that's Messer.
Okay.
Because he is just too much. I saw a picture of him today, like looking like a big man.
No. Truly, and when I say he is the way that you were talking about Charlie, he is the kindest soul. Where the fuck did he come from? It's like Hartford. She came out judging. She like her whole face was just judgy always. This little boy is so sweet and so kind. It's the he. I feel like he's gonna change the world. Like, it's like giving Mother Teresa vibes.
Yeah. Well, he is so darn cute. How is your postpartum journey going? I feel like it's so low-key that you're 7.5 months postpartum.
Yeah. Yes. This
Who's
one...
counting? I like have tabs on everyone who's like giving birth around me, you know? Yeah. So I was just talking to Lauren Elizabeth. I know she's a few weeks, like her daughter's a few weeks younger than Charlie, and so is Messer.
I think that in the beginning, it was harder. Like, in the beginning, it was harder than anything I had experienced. But now that I've, like, gotten out of it, like, out of, like, the first 3 to 4 months, now I feel like, oh, the first time Hartford was hard. Like, that whole experience. And the moodiness, the, like, baby blues that came with that was so much harder. I felt pretty good. Like, But that's, like, now. I feel like you forget what you go through. Like,
yeah.
Truly. You forget what,
like, it's survival mode.
Like, if someone were to hear me, like, if Bo were to hear me right now talking about this, being like, no, he'd be like, no, you haven't gone through an easy time. Like, you've literally not. What are you talking about? I'm like, I think I'm having a stroke. I'm suffering from something. I forgot because I feel good today.
Yeah. No, I think that is what we all do. I think, like, the body does that intentionally, you know, so you want to have another. No, and for sure. So that you just, like, keep it moving. But did you find the transition from 1 to 2 was harder than 0 to 1?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think because we were in COVID for Hartford. So, like, we were at home no matter what. So all I could do was be a mom anyway, be a mom at home. I didn't have any other responsibilities. I didn't have anything else to do but just be a mother to this baby. With Messer and Hartford, I'm still doing all of the things, and the world has opened up, so there's more responsibilities. And I also have a toddler. And even though I have help and Hartford goes to school, it still, to me, is so much harder because I feel like me and Bo, it's now one is on one. And we don't get, by the time we put them both down to bed, we're too tired to, like, hang out anymore. And it's really sad because, like, that used to be our time to have quality time and do things together, watch a movie. And now I'm like, I just need to go and, like, watch a show by myself and zone out.
Yeah. No, I feel like, do you go to sleep early like you should, or you stay up?
It depends on the day. It's like, that's the struggle. That's the struggle. Mm-hmm. That's every mother everywhere knows. It's like, after you put your kids down, do you want to sleep more or do you want to enjoy your alone time more? What's more important tonight? And it shifts every day.
I just want to say, so I stay up way too late, and every morning I kick myself. I'm like, go to bed earlier, you dumb bitch. And last night I was so tired. I was like a walking zombie by the time the kids went down. So I'm like, I'm going to sleep. It was like 8:30, 8:45. And I went to bed.
You went to bed at 8:45?
Yeah. I was so tired. I Olivia was FaceTiming me and I was like, gotta go. And I just like seriously like a zombie. It's just been like a really crazy busy week. And I was so tired. And I slept like half asleep for 2 hours. And then I woke up at 10:30 and I was pretty much up till 2:30. So I will never be going to sleep early again, and I'll keep it at 11 o'clock and just get a straight shot.
I don't think I've ever gone to sleep at 8:30. That's champion behavior right there. It was a
mistake. Okay. I was regretful. So I just, if anybody's feeling bad about staying up late, like, don't feel bad. At least you're using your time and doing something. I wish I watched a show or something.
Well, you get alone time.
Yeah.
And alone time is the best. Do you feel like it was harder or easier going to do?
0 to 1 was way harder for me than 1 to 2. Like, I just felt, I felt so much more excited. Not in that I wasn't excited, but I felt excitement, new excitement. It's like, you don't want to say it. I felt new excitement because I was prepared and I, like, knew what to expect. And I felt like an old pro, and I was like, I could, like, show off my new skills, and especially as it, like, pertained to breastfeeding or just all of these things that the first time it was just like trial by fire. And then I was able to enjoy some of the things more because I was felt more prepared. And it's funny how when you have your second, it's like a positive and a negative. But because you have one already, like, it forces you. You can't just, like, go into the bubble and stay in the bubble because, like, you got to go.
You got to go to kids' birthday parties.
You got to go to the park. You got to go. Like, you have to, like, get up and get at them. And for me, that was helpful because I felt like I was starting to get back to just life way faster than, like, I think with Harry for the first 3 months, it felt like I couldn't go anywhere. Like, I was like, everything felt so overwhelming.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. I also think that, like, I don't know, people might not like this. I don't like the newborn phase. That's not my favorite. And so I think that's what also made it hard to have Messer, because I knew I wasn't going to like that part. So it's like, I got to get over this hump of just the newborn phase where, like, he does not look at me or know me, but I am just his at every moment of the day.
Yeah.
And so it's like, once I get past the newborn phase, then I'm like, I'm excited about life.
Yeah, I feel that. I really do. When did you do the majority of writing for your book?
It was half while I was pregnant and half afterwards.
Like newborn phase?
Yes.
That's hard too.
But I wrote the proposal like two years ago mm-hmm. or a year, like just under 2 years ago. And that's like a bulk of the whole thing. That's like half the battle almost is like, okay, like shaping it. So it's been a while.
Yeah. But no, but that does make, like, when you don't get a full maternity leave or even half, like, and I think you were podcasting. I think we podcasted together, like, in October, which is insane.
Yeah. No, I didn't really take off. But I also think that at the same, so I complained that I went back to work too soon. But at the same time, part of me thinks that if I hadn't, I would have complained about just being a mom.
Yeah.
And just having that time. I don't think I'm content either way, which is why I wrote this book for myself.
Yeah, no, and for a lot of us, and I know it's been heavy on the mama talk this week on the toast, but you know what? I've really enjoyed it. I feel like I've needed it. It's so nice to just share notes.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know what? Like, listen, for all the toasters out there who aren't mamas, don't want to be mamas, maybe it'll help them understand their mama best friend.
Yeah.
You know?
So true. Today's episode is brought to you by Mary and George. Mary and George is our new favorite show on Stars. It could not be a better sponsor for today's episode. Stassi and I both love historical shows. We love history, and this is just another show that we can add to our lineup. Mary and George is a Stars original inspired by the story of Mary Villiers, who molded her beautiful and charismatic son, George, to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Through outrageous scheming, the pair rose from humble beginnings to become the richest, most titled, and influential players the English court had ever seen. Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine are starring in the show. Critics are calling obsessed, calling it sexy, witty, and darkly rewarding. Watch Mary and George only on Stars and the Stars app. Turdy and I are truly obsessed with period pieces, and Stassi and I, and Mary and George is no exception. Mary, played by Julianne Moore, pretty much has nothing to her name but is desperate to elevate her social standing. Relatable. Watch now on Stars and the Stars app. Today's episode is also brought to you by Framebridge. So Framebridge is one of those companies that it's like, what were people doing before this company existed? Like, framing things is kind of a torturous experience, but not anymore with Framebridge. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store. You can upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid shipping, or visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. So I uploaded a recent family photo. We took family pictures over vacation, and I got it framed via Framebridge in like a very big gold frame. It's so beautiful. It looks like a piece of art in my house, and it could not have been easier when it showed up at my house. Zach was so excited because we don't have a lot of frame photos of us in the house, and it was just like such a nice treat for him. And I like didn't want to tell him it was one of the easiest things I've ever done, but it's easy and affordable, and there's fair and transparent upfront pricing. They have so many frames to choose from. It is just like a kid in a candy shop. So see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. We love Framebridge. Get framing. Our next sponsor for today's episode is Jenny Kane. You guys, we love Jenny Kane. We love their clothing, their homewares. It is just cozy, good stuff. It's giving coastal grandmother. It's giving luxury and quality. I have a couple of Jenny Kane sweaters that you can tell are just made with such good materials because they have lasted season after season, and we just absolutely love Jenny Kane here. We finally found our kind of uniform style vibe that we are obsessed with. Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined, from luxurious cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories to elevated versions of all of your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too. So I have things for my home, things for my body, just everything that I love is from Jenny Kane, things for my feet. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off when you use code TOAST at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at Jenny Kane, JenniKayne.com, promo code TOAST. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. There's nothing better than having like a capsule wardrobe of things for this season that you know are going to be so stylish, you're going to feel cozy in, and that you can wear season after season. So get shopping with Jenni Kayne. Thank you, sponsors. Well, one of my favorite things about you, switching gears into our favorite subject, which is history.
I thought you were going to, like, Titans, like, which one are you going to throw at me right now?
Oh, yeah. No, the broader umbrella, yeah. Our Roman okay. empires. Yeah. We are just, like, history-obsessed girlies. I saw that you just finished Poldark.
No, I have three episodes left.
Which was my first pregnancy show, like, in my first pregnancy, a show that I watched. And really? Would you recommend it to the historical fiction fans in general?
Oh, 100%. Let me just say that I started watching it. I love your face. I started watching it my first pregnancy too. Okay. And I quit when something happens. You know.
I know. You told me.
And I'm like, something. I, this does not make sense. Like, his character, this is not, no, was there a new writer that came in here and just decided to shake things up? Like, mm-hmm. I can't get down with this. It doesn't make sense with who he is as a person. And so I quit it. And over the last couple of months, I've been getting my face microneedled and lasered. And so there's like a couple days of downtime where like people can't see my face. Like I can't go out in public. So I can't leave the house. So I need something to do because I can't work or do anything. So what I've been
What does microneedling do?
Well, it's supposed to make me look like I'm like Hartford's 8-year-old sister.
So. You seriously do. When you were talking about Hartford earlier, I like thought about it for a second. I'm like, you guys are twins. And now you're talking about that you did something to your face. And I'm like looking at your, you do look like Hartford's 8-year-old sister.
Thank you so much.
You guys better watch on YouTube because we're sitting down with Hartford's big sis.
But there's downtime with this microneedling. Like it turns you into a beast. Like you look disgusting for a few days. So I couldn't.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
For sure. And so I'm like, I've ran out of period piece shows. I've seen them all. I love when someone's like, no, but have you seen this? Or let me give you a list. I'm like, don't bother giving me a list. You guys, I've seen the most obscure random ones like from 2011. Like everyone, I've seen it. And so the last one left was to go back to Poldark. And I went back to it. And honestly, Jackie, no, I love it. And I would recommend it for sure.
It really got on my nerves towards the end. Like, okay. Or not even not towards the end, the whole time. It yeah. was angering me.
Yeah, there are parts. But I'm too invested. I'm too invested in these characters now, in this life, that it's going to be one of those situations where I'm going to fall into a little bit of a slump. Like, you know, a little bit of a little bluesy slump, like a mini depression for a yeah. couple days because I'm like RIP to my Poldark fam.
It's so hard to finish a show that you love. I feel like one show that I didn't finish that I watched, like your Poldark, but I haven't had my renaissance with it yet, is Outlander.
Oh, my God.
I know you're going to like seriously like murder me through the phone.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's the best.
It's when historical fiction girly 101. I stopped in the middle of the second season, or maybe at the end of the second season. I was like, I just am not enjoying this experience. It's like, I found it to be very anxiety inducing.
Okay, you're not actually a fan. So like, you can't actually say if you stopped second season, you are not a fan. And that's fine. We don't want you. We don't want you unless you're going to commit. You have to commit. No. It's like, I'm like a Swiftie when it comes to Outlander.
Yeah.
You're that in or you're out.
Is that your number one?
Outlander? I don't make me choose. You know?
Okay.
Downton Abbey's there. No, Game of Thrones
is your number one.
What's my number one?
Game of Thrones.
Oh. Yes, but at the same time, I don't know that I'd rewatch it.
Oh, I would, but like in a couple years still.
I don't know.
I think the rewatch is even better because you will understand things that, remember in the first season, none of us knew what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's all foreshadowing.
Okay. It just seems like I gave a lot of my heart. I gave all of me to Game of Thrones and they did me so dirty at the end that I can't. I was like, they Scandivald me. Like they cheated on me with my best friend after 9 years of being together or whatever. And I can't forgive and I don't want to forgive.
When I watched the finale, I never thought about how it might affect you. And I mean, that seriously, like that must have been hard. I don't want to spoil anything, but like, a lot of you is like wrapped up in
yeah.
this person.
Thanks. No, thank you for finally seeing me right now. No one said that to me. Ever.
Did you see that there was supposed to be a Jon Snow spinoff show?
Jackie, okay, hold on. Okay, so I'm obsessed with this story, okay? Because I remember when it leaked, when it came out, that like a year ago or whatever. And I thought it was so kind of cringe that I'm like, because the way that every article worded it was like, he pitched it, he's producing it, he's creating it. And it's like, dude, like the dude holding on to like being like in the like his high school football team kind of thing. Like he can't do anything else. Sort of that energy, you know? Yeah. And then it like leaked. And then Emilia Clarke had confirmed and said something like, this is John's thing. John's doing it. But no, I'm not. Like it was kind of shady, but I don't know if she meant it to be shady. And then I was like, this actually is not, this is not good for this show because it's giving cringe and no one wants to make a cringe show. And now that it came out that it's not happening, and I read Jon Snow's, what's his name?
Kit.
Whatever. Kit Harington's, yeah, his quotes on it. He's basically saying it didn't happen because it got leaked and it was cringe. That's what I was reading between the lines.
Damn. That made me sad. I didn't have like an element of sadness to the story before. Just like, oh, shucks, you know, Hollywood, they sometimes don't get things made. But now I'm feeling, when I climb into bed, I start feeling sad.
No, I'm going to go to bed thinking about it tonight. I had buried it, but you know, you just unlocked it.
I'm so sorry. There are a couple like spinoff shows in the works. Of course, we got House of the Dragon, which is amazing.
Of course. Incredible.
But there are some other ones that have been teased.
There's an Outlander one that's coming.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Not that you would care, but there's an Outlander one. There's a new Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah. I feel like every 6 months we're like in the Fast Five, it feels like deja vu, like Groundhog's Day, of like a new Game of Thrones spinoff. It's either like, you know, cast emerge or it's been canceled. I think Charlize Theron was supposed to be in one.
What?
I might have made that up.
I didn't know.
I might have made it up. Like, I might be getting the details wrong.
Okay.
But
are there any other ones? Because I'm running out of period pieces.
You are.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a lot of good stuff waiting for me. I haven't gotten to like get into a show in so long, and I'm very excited. But did you, of course, you watched The Crown?
No, it doesn't go far back enough.
What?
Yeah.
No,
I know. Okay, all right. So like, I get this reaction from everyone that I tell.
No, when you, it sounds familiar. I know you like really ancient history, and you like, you find yourself, you know, you're a French Revolution sort of girl.
Oh, for sure. Love a French Revolution moment. Love like a Tudor moment. Love a Renaissance moment. I could go back to ancient Rome. That's fine. Like even, but like I fuck with like the turn of the century, like, you know, the Gilded Age. I could even venture into the 1920s. But after that, I kind of lose interest, and that's where The Crown is. And I know that I love royalty things. I think I tried the first episode and it was a little bore. And I think I'll give it a shot. I don't know.
But aren't they all a little bore? All historical shows, like the first episode is boring. Because I feel like that's their way of like weeding out the chafe.
Oh, interesting.
Well, not like really, but it's like, oh, serious folks only.
Yeah, interesting.
Unless it's or you get Bridgerton, which is like for everyone,
and which I loved equally as much. I love Bridgerton. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, you know what? I don't know. It's gonna have to be one of those things where, like, I have literally nothing else to watch, and I will start The Crown.
Okay, fair. Well, speaking of The Crown, actually, and Yar Girl, one of the stories this week was probably weirdly the biggest news of the week was Meghan Markle releasing her jams.
Wait, hold on. Why wasn't I sent one? I am the biggest Meghan Markle.
It's so true.
Stan, and she doesn't fuck with me. She doesn't send me her jam. And I'm just like, enough is enough. You know, I'm out here waving the Meghan Markle flag every
it's
day.
It's true. You're doing like the boots on the ground work.
Yeah. For her.
Changing hearts and minds. Does this make you feel differently?
Just a little left out. You know,
I feel like she mostly sent it to her friends, like not famous people. Not even famous friends, and like didn't send it to like influencers and.
Yeah, but you know, I lent her my daughter. Have you heard this?
No.
This is the best rumor that's ever been spread about me. Okay. It's like dark, deep web. You know, deep web? I don't know. Like you have to like go deep to find it.
Okay.
There is a rumor. There's a group of people out there who think that I lent Hartford to them when the first photo of Lilibet came out, because I was actually in Europe for my wedding. And so they're like, she could have just flown over to England where this photo was taken, and they look identical. And Stassi's actually friends with Meghan Markle. I think because they, I talk about how I'm a fan of her so much that people just assume that I was friends or something. And there's a rumor out there that Lilibet doesn't exist, and it's actually just photos of Hartford and Meghan Markle. And I'm here for it.
Honestly, I believe it. I feel like that's true.
And this right now, me talking about it, is just the greatest cover up.
Yeah, have you addressed these rumors before?
Yeah, I brought them up.
Okay, I think it's true, but you're just like, you know, you don't want to protest too much, so you're just like mentioning it, glazing over it. And at least she could do is send you her jams. But what do you think about her brand in general?
Okay,
now that I feel like I'm talking to someone who mm-hmm. is going to have an interesting take on this.
I don't know that it'll be that interesting because, okay, I think that what she's doing is very basic and easy, but I'm queen of fucking basic shit. So, yeah. Like, I love something that's basic and easy, but I just, like, I love the branding. I love that it's her calligraphy. I love that, you know, all of the shots we get are so influencer-y and so just, like, over the top produced and short. And, like, I like it. I don't think it's going to stick. I don't think it's revolutionary. I don't think, like, she's doing anything new. I don't think that, like, she's... I just feel like they are capable of so much more. Why are you just, like... Why are you doing this? I want her to have her own brand. I want her to be an influencer. I want her to be out there. I want her to do something different, though, that hasn't been done before.
Wow. Kind of a hot take, and kind of, like, maybe, you know, those we love are the most honest with us, but, like, kind of even tougher than me.
How do you feel
saying,
about it?
I've been saying, like, yeah, this seems like a no-brainer and probably what they should have done from the beginning.
I don't know. I really believed in, like, them changing the world. I, like, really actually thought that that was going to be the move. And I thought that that was her destiny. I actually still think that it could be. And I think that, like, for him too, like, he's out there, like, fighting all of these fights, whether it's, like, for the most part about the media. And I think that's, like, an important message, the way that the media does lie and do fucked up shit. Like, that's something that needs to be out there. More people should know about it. I just feel like they're capable of changing the world, and, like, jam is, like, not,
it's not your jam.
It's not my jam.
That's, but, like, really sweet and really beautiful. And now I'm with you. They could, like, change the world.
I know, but, like, at the same time, it's like you want them to, like, yeah, like, she's so beautiful and stylish, and her lifestyle looks amazing. And, like, of course I want more of her. So I'm happy to have this influencer version of her, because I want as much of them as I possibly can get. I just think she's capable of more. The name also, I just, like, don't fully get it. And it coming out right around the time that we're, like, hearing about Kate Middleton's cancer battle, like, it's just the timing. Like, why'd we need to do this now? Couldn't we wait a little while? Like, it just, I don't know.
No, you're making fire points. But if she has a cooking show, which is part of the package and part of the brand, like, mm-hmm. that doesn't excite you?
100%, and I don't cook. It does excite me. I just think
she was made for more.
Everything she's been telling us is that she is made for more. Not made for, like that's literally been what she's about. Like, whenever, like, her and Harry talk about, you know, on their documentary or whenever they speak out, that, like, they bonded over the fact that the humanitarianism, like, and all that. And so, like, why are we doing jam then?
Where's the humanity in jam?
Yes. And I know that they are doing things. Like, of course, like, we see that, like, they have their foundation and they do things. But I just, they should have stayed in the royal family and just, like, really, like, they could have done shit. They could have.
That's how I felt after watching their documentary, whereas, like, the place that they would have had the most impact, like, would have been to stay there and make a difference.
Do you think they would go back?
Yeah, but I don't think they'd be allowed back.
I don't know. I just feel like anything is possible. Dream big.
Dream big. And also, like, the working royal family members, like, they're going the numbers are down right now. Like, people are taking time off and they do need like more names and faces. But like, I'm sorry, he dragged them to filth. Like, you can't forget all of these things in the
book. But also rightfully so, because he's just saying what they've done to him and her. Like, it's both. They're both guilty. I just feel like they're both guilty. Both parties. It's the most nuanced situation. I hate when people just like wholly just like dislike Meghan and Harry, because like I see the arguments of how they can be unlikable. I see that. Like, they're not, I don't look at them like and think that like blindly that they're, everything they do is great. I don't think that. I think that they've experienced some really fucked up shit. Some really fucked up shit, and fucked up shit has been done to them, and they had no other out but to go this route, do this documentary to make money, do a book to make money, now find a way to survive, use whatever influence they do have, like, still keep their titles, because like, duh, like, we need to like make a living, and our living is expensive. They're out there just trying, you know.
They are. Okay, no, I love your take on them, honestly. It's very refreshing.
Poor Meghan, poor Harry.
You know what? Maybe she's like, she's been trying, and now she's like, I just want to be an influencer. Like, fuck it. What if I just made a jam, put on an apron?
I'd love for her to just like partner with a fashion brand, like a fashion house. Like, that would be so fun. What if she was like the new face of Chanel? How great would that be?
Oh, that would be awesome. I also think she could be an actress again.
You think?
Yeah, she's a good actress. And I think now she would get insane parts.
I don't know.
And she could like write her own ticket.
Is she that great of an actress? Because like, I've seen her Hallmark movie. I bought it.
I bought it too. The 4th of July one, Sparks Fly.
Oh my God. No, I didn't even know that one existed.
Which one's did you see?
It's like the one with like the two guys, and she has to like choose which guy it is. She's like looking over her shoulder. I don't even remember what it's called, but it's horrible.
Oh, well, is that Hallmark or is that her? The thing is, did you watch Suits?
No, I didn't.
That's surprising too.
It's just like not my, I don't, lawyery stuff.
Meghan Markle-y stuff. I've watched a whole series because I liked one person.
What series?
I would have to think, but I feel like I do it all the time. Like, I search for someone that I like and then I watch their show.
A series or a movie?
Well, like, definitely a movie.
Definitely a movie. I'll watch a movie for someone. You know, like, if I see, weirdly enough, Keira Knightley, I'll watch anything she's in.
You know what? That doesn't surprise me, because she's like a great British actress and you like great British things.
I guess that's just like, that makes sense. But like, I could just stare at her face, anything she does. I just like, I love everything about the way she talks. I love her. But like, a whole series, I'm not sure.
Well, people who watch Suits, like, they fall in love with her. Like, she is like dazzling.
Oh my God, do I need to watch Suits?
I think you need to watch Suits for her even. But I think also you would get into the show. Okay, maybe you don't love lawyers, but I think the show is compelling. It was like the number one stream Netflix rewatch of all time. If they did like if they brought back Suits, like, she should do that.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Astapro. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples of their allergy medication. So I have seasonal allergies, and I'll just, you know, get a random allergy to something, you know, sensitive girly tings. And I recently tried Astapro, and it was so amazing and effective. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. It delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny nose, itchy nose, and sneezing. So the Astapro spray is fast-acting. It's a nasal allergy symptom relief. Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Astapro and go. Astapro and go. Thanks, Astapro. Today's episode's also brought to you by the farmer's dog. Bruce should be here working, but he's too busy enjoying his farmer's dog. Honestly, he's like, Mom, I got new food. I don't need to talk to you. I'm like, Bruno, that's not how it works. You have to thank your mommy and come do your ad. But he said, no, Mommy, I don't want to do my ad. So this new year, the easiest healthy habit to start is one for your dog. The Farmer's Dog makes feeding real healthy dog food easy and convenient, and your dog will absolutely love it. It's smart, healthy pet food you can feel good about feeding your pup. That's why it's time to quit the kibble, kick the cans, and start fresh. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers healthy dog food right to your door. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real meat and veggies to the safety standards of human food. When you take a step back and think about what kibble is made of and why it's made that way, it's like, why are we feeding our dogs this? Why not better for them? Our pups deserve the world and they deserve good, healthy food. And you know how happy it makes them to get food that like looks like real food, like a real movie. And that's Farmer's Dog. So you will see shinier coat, better breath, just all of the gorgeous things for your puppy. And you know that it's really doing the best for them from the inside out. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/toast. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to thefarmersdog.com/toast to get 50% off. That's thefarmersdog.com/toast. Mom tested, Streisand approved.
Well, why do you think, do you go on like Daily Mail ever?
Yeah, I do because I look for stories.
Why do you think they make it a point to just like write so poorly about her, even when it's not news or something? The way they write about her is like every American hates her. Everything she's doing is failing. Like she's showing up for something lame. Like the way the wording around everything is always so overwhelmingly negative.
Well, I also feel like that's Daily Mail. They're not like the nicest, except for like three random people that are like on their list. Like, sure. That girl, like, who's the girl that was always on their Snapchat stories? Demi Rose.
Demi, no, wait, literally, I knew exactly who you were going to say. Who is she?
And how Arielle did she get the Winter.
And
they're obsessed with her.
Blanca, somebody named Blanca Banco or something.
That is so, yeah, it's like they have their chosen few, but everyone else, like, they're kind of negative. I think that that's just their style of writing. But I go across the web when I look for stories, and I feel like everywhere, it's actually the opposite with her, where it's like, they're always like a People magazine, but People magazine is just kind of People's nice to nice. Everyone. Yeah. And they just, you know, are always so celebratory of everything that they're doing.
Okay. Well, that makes me happy to hear because yeah. I just like, I'll click on this Daily Mail because it's just like out of habit and I'll see all these negative, these articles. I'm like, this is strange. Do Americans really hate that? Like, this makes no sense to me.
Well, I feel like the American press likes her and the American media likes her and they likes them and it speaks well of them. But Daily Mail is still UK. And like literally, Harry is in legal battle with the Daily Mail. Like they are.
Excellent point. Everyone needs to be reminded of this. Everyone who goes to Daily Mail needs to be reminded of this, that Harry is, yes, in a legal battle with them. So of course they're going to write poorly.
And I think that so British media in general, like, is right, speaks like poorly of them. One, because the British media is like more aligned with the royal family. And two, because I think the British public does not like them.
Yeah, good point.
But here, like, the public like them more than the British public, and the media certainly do.
Okay.
Here I see them as like media darlings, except I don't understand why they're not invited to the Met Gala and things of that nature.
I don't understand either. I don't understand why they're going with, like, why they do go to any of the places that they actually do go to.
Yeah, like, and why they do. No, it's so true.
It doesn't make sense. Like, who's their PR person? I'll be their PR person.
No, but it's giving, like, not playing well with others.
You know, it's giving not being on the same page. No one's being on the same page. No one knows the end goal. It's giving 50-yard dash instead of, like, marathon. It's, like, it's so no one's thinking of, like, the end goal.
The big picture.
The big picture of what we're trying to do here.
That's a good point. I feel like is a kinder way of putting it, because I feel like it's like they don't get invited to stuff that they should get invited to. Why? Who doesn't like them?
But I wonder if they could get invited to the Met Gala if they choose not to go, because then they know that all the trolls, all the haters, they'll be so loud. They're like, I thought you were supposed to be doing humanitarian work. I thought you didn't want to be bothered. I thought you don't want attention.
The Met Gala is a charity event. technically.
Okay. I mean, it won't.
For the Costume Institute.
I just, like, don't feel that argument. Like, that argument wouldn't work. It wouldn't. I feel like that's a choice that they're not going. That's their choice.
Okay. Well, I like that take. Because otherwise, basically, it makes no sense.
No, we got nowhere with this conversation. That is the beauty of Meghan Markle and Harry. Like, we never get anywhere whenever we talk about them. Like, no one ever does. Like, we can never, no one ever lands on, like, okay, that makes sense. It's a mystery.
On the one hand, they're such a mystery. But on the other hand, they're, like, such open books. They don't shut the fuck up. Like, he's written a book. They did their documentary. She's about to do a cooking show. Like, you have to talk about your life. He's doing
podcast.
Hold
on, Jackie. The fact that you snow. Like, the podcast. Wait, hold on. You did it. It wasn't great. Like, why are you doing this again? Wait, what do you mean? Who decided this? What do you mean?
Like, the podcast. Yeah, no, because now it's with Lemonada.
Yes, Lemonada. I've never heard of Lemonada. Now I know. Okay. But what? Like, podcasting? Like, Meghan, like, we're beneath you. It's like when J-Lo does things like, if you want to see my engagement photos or my wedding photos, go to my website and sign up for, you know, my
on the
email.
J-Lo.
Yes, on the J-Lo. I'm like, this is beneath you. This is shit that we would
do. It's even like,
stop
it's going to my Patreon.
Yes, that's what it's giving. And that's what, like, Meghan Markle is giving. Like, it makes, why are you doing a podcast? You don't need to be doing this.
Yeah. No, and now she's doing it again. And I feel like I need to make a list of things of, like, that we've been waiting for, because I would have forgotten about the Lemonada of it all. You know, I thought podcasting was in the past. I've been talking about ARO, like, this is the future, but I forgot that Lemonada is involved.
Are we maybe going ARO? That's right, because you, okay.
Because A-R-O. American Riviera Orchard, I already have I fumble every word. That's just setting me up for failure.
I don't know. I just feel like American Riviera Orchard is, like, so try hard. It's giving me trying really hard to come up with something chic.
Right, but it's also giving extremely off-brand, because, as we said, like, they are a global couple. Why would you put American in the name?
Mm-hmm.
It could Royal Riviera Orchard.
Just
fixed
it. What about Riviera Orchard?
Well, where they live is called the American Riviera in California. The Montecito is called the American Riviera.
I had no idea. Now this makes a lot more sense. Okay.
Okay. Well,
I like it a lot more.
Okay, I agreed, but now I feel like you live in California and you didn't know that, like, really.
But it's the location. No, brand name makes sense. It's the location. They can't help it. It is what it is. American Riviera Orchard.
A-R-O.
I'm going to spend 3 months. Of my life is going to be shaved off when I die for the amount of time, all the times that I had to say American Riviera Orchard.
Literally. But honestly, this is, like, one of these, like, pop, I'm really into this journey. I'm looking forward to the content. I hope that we would start stronger than Jam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But maybe we're starting small and building. That's always a good strategy.
For sure. Absolutely. You know, I hope I eat my words. And I'm, like, the biggest, again, I'm, like, the biggest fan. I hope that I'm, like, I was wrong. This was brilliant.
She was meant to do this. This Jam is changing the world.
Yeah.
For the good.
This cooking show's changing the world. This podcast is changing the world. I hope so.
I love that. Ending on that optimism. Before I let you go, also something that I need to talk to you about and get your firsthand take on is, you were at the Bluey premiere on the blue carpet.
Wait, can I tell you how great that show was? That episode.
Everyone's talking about it.
No, I cried at the end.
That's what they're saying. The parents were crying.
I looked over. I went with my sister came with us. I looked over and we were both like, what the fuck is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? It was amazing.
Were the children crying?
No. Mm-mm. Not at
they
all.
They just were like, Hartford another great day of Bluey.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Hartford fully, she's three, so she's not going to get it. I didn't turn around to look at all the, like, the older kids, the other kids in the theater, but it was a magical episode.
Wow. That's very exciting. Is that, like, one of the greatest perks of, like, doing what you do and being a mom is, like, being able to do and take your daughter to that sort of stuff?
One of the greatest perks and also one of the worst, because I looked at that party, like the after party of that screening, and it was like a Hollywood party, like rager that I used to go to when I was like single in my 20s until like 2 a.m. Like the way the food, the bar, the just everything, like everything felt very adult, and there was just so much that I'm like, I am like ruining my child right now. Like, she's gonna think that this is what normal parties are like, and it's
normal, like it's going to see the movies,
correct? And like, that's not it. So it's the best and the worst.
Yeah, I feel that. Also, one more thing I wanted to ask you about is the new show The Valley that you actually like told us years ago on The Toast was like something that was brewing, and then I guess they picked it back up. Have you been watching?
I have.
You have?
I don't watch Vanderpump Rules, but I've watched The Valley. You know
what
it feels
like? That's surprising.
No, because it feels like, do you ever go on Facebook and look up people that you went to school with? Like, you want to just see what's going on? That's, like, what The Valley is to me.
Oh, my God. No, I totally feel that. But does any part of you, like, wish that you were doing it?
No, Jackie.
It's like when you look at those people and, like, you're glad you left your hometown.
Could not have worded it better. Like it's like a comforting feeling. Like I watch it for comfort at this point, so I can sleep well at night.
So I started the first episode, and something about it like was not bothering me, but like something didn't make me want to continue watching. But the more I think about the show, the more I'm like, this sounds like exactly what I would want to watch. It's like new parents, and they're like all the just mama tings. I saw recently Naya's twin girls play the babies on Young Sheldon.
Oh,
I saw like her reel came up on my Instagram, like taking the girls to play baby Cece at Young Sheldon. And I guess they're like child actresses and they play baby Cece on Young Sheldon, which is a show that we love. And it's just like The Valley's kind of layered.
I will say this last episode that I saw, Nia was like super open about her postpartum depression and her baby blues, and it was so like I got emotional, and I'm like, wow, like I feel this, and this is brave. But for the most part, that's like not why like I watch it.
Yeah. Understood. I think I'm gonna pick it back up because I feel like those parts will buoy me through like the rest of the absolute chaos.
No, like the chaos will carry you though. No, like the chaos will carry you there. Like it's like it gives me the same feeling as like when I used to watch 90 Day Fiancé, where I'm like, is this real? Is this real? Like, for real.
Okay. Oh, my God. Now, honestly, this is the best advertisement for the show.
No, for sure. Like, go watch it, you guys. Like, it's wow.
It's wow. Would you ever continue watching Vanderpump Rules?
No. I think I don't know.
Yeah,
and I'm too close to some of them that like it just wouldn't, because like I get tagged in things all the time. People are like, I need Stassi to come back and like tell off Lala, or like tell off Sheena, or tell off Katie and Ariana, or tell off somebody, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Like when I see Lala and we hang out, we don't talk about what's happening on Vanderpump Rules. I don't know what's going on the show. I think it would like disappoint a lot of people. Like, you guys don't want me back on. You don't want to see that. Like, I don't have anything to say. Zero opinions.
Yeah, I feel that. Do you also feel like you're friends with most of the girls who are still on the show, and then like there's infighting among them?
But that's
because they're on the show.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about when I like get tagged in people like saying things like that. It's like constant, like after every episode, and I'm like, I don't know about those fighting. I have no idea who's fighting with who. I watch The Valley, you guys.
I'm mature. I watch The Valley. Do you find that you fight with your friends less, like not being on a reality show?
Oh yeah. If I fight with a friend, then they're not my friend anymore.
Right.
That's where I'm at. And like that's also why I don't want to do this. Like I don't want that in my life. Like, so like if we're fighting, we just like don't hang out anymore.
Right. That's like what happens with normal people. But when this person's like your coworker, you have to see them all the time. Like you kind of have to forgive them and move on, or else what are we doing here?
Otherwise you can't make a show. So like I get it. Like I've been explained the situation as much as possible. I'm like, I see all sides.
She sees all sides. She's seen all sides, and now she's watching The Valley. Okay, well, I have to go to turn on the Valley to TiVo it. Stassi, thank you so much for joining the toast. This has been a pleasure. Where can everyone pre-order your book? It is available now for pre-order.
It's called You Can't Have It All. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I think anywhere that you can buy a book. Comes out September 10th.
Beautiful. And we will leave the link in the description of this episode so you can pre-order your copy and you don't miss out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stassi. We love ya. Thanks for being here.
Have me back whenever, because I love you guys. If you like, if your show ever went away, what the fuck would I do when I'm doing my makeup every morning?
Is that when you listen to us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Like, that's the move. And it's like, I need that every day.
And you're on West Coast time, so we come out in the morning for you.
Yeah, so I normally, I'm like a few days back always.
Oh, okay. So our timing means nothing to you.
No, it doesn't.
No, I like that. It takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much, everyone. Have a great weekend. Next week is Passover, but Chag Sameach to all those celebrating, and we will see you next week. Love ya. Bye.